In this segment, I want to speak about things that I've picked up over the years, hiking, camping, and working in the outdoors, as well as those things that I've learned from others and picked up along the way who are, quote, experts in the field, speaking both from the medical side and in the industry of hiking, outdoors, camping, etc., and what they recommend in order to beat the heat, to survive the heat. So I want to get into a few things about that and talk about what you can actually do to help yourself to survive the heat. So the first and most important step to beating the heat is to hydrate. So if you are going hiking, camping, backpacking, trekking, or trekking away from a disaster, one of the things that you have to consider as one of the key primary parts of your kit is the ability to carry fresh potable water, water that you can cook and drink from directly. So I talk about it all the time. Some of the things that you need to do, in my estimation, one of the best choices for water purification out there is a combination of a Sawyer 0.02 pack, the 4-liter double pack, where you can, it's referred to as a purification, not a filter, because at 0.02 absolute micron, that's going to stop cryptosporidium and pretty much everything else. You will not be able to stop the chemical VOCs from being taken out. By the way, boiling point on some of the VOCs is as high as 800 and 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So the problem there is the only way you're going to get that out is through reverse osmosis. And even then you may have a problem. And on top of it, utilization through scrubbing that water with several shots, several passes of activated carbon, because as you've heard me say before in episodes that I've talked about regarding water purification, it's all about dwell time. So I recommend a combination of the Sawyer 0.02 and the Rapid Pure filter, which has carbon in it, and an electrostatic filter. So between the two, you can put the inline electrostatic carbon filter from Rapid Pure in line from the Sawyer. With that, you are guaranteed minimum of 15 minutes for 4 liters of pure water from water pretty much anywhere. So these things are important because you need to have water with you. Always have a backup plan. You may not find a source of water. So don't listen to these people who hike in what are known as improved areas, where they have water fountains and toileting facilities or outhouses and water, artesian well water and the like. This is not always necessarily going to be possible for you. Even if there are standing or moving bodies of water, you may not be able to draw potable water from it because of contamination. So you need to have plan B. You always need plan B and plan C for that matter. So that means you have to carry water with you. How far will you go before you get to a place where you absolutely know that you will be able to obtain water? You don't want to be begging for water from other people on the trail. You don't want to be begging for water from people with houses along your path. You need to be able to supply your own water. There may be nothing in reach of you. As of June 12th, I think it was, the Harbor Freights in my area had them on sale for $5. They normally go for about 10 bucks all around. You can find them on Amazon and other places. This is really critical. You have to have means to be able to protect yourself. Use a full-brimmed hat. If you're wearing a cowboy hat, bend the sides down so instead of being pulled up like a lot of people like to do, you pull them down. It will keep the sun off of the top of your ears, reducing the likelihood that you'll have melanoma. In the winter, I tell everyone, dump your cotton. Cotton kills. But in the summer, cotton retains moisture better than synthetics, and it helps to keep you cooler. It can limit your range of motion sometimes, but it keeps you cooler. So there are a lot of things that you can do to help yourself to prevent yourself from becoming dehydrated. Another thing that helps is to keep your mouth wet. And you can do that by sucking on hard candies or chewing gum. I'm not big on gum, but I do chew gum. I keep a pack of gum in my kit because when you're hungry and you're shy on food, your body will trick itself to believing that it is eaten when you're chewing and swallowing from having gum in your mouth, because that will help by tricking your brain to thinking you have eaten. The other side of the coin is it also keeps your mouth wet. When you can no longer chew and have your mouth stay wet, you know you have crossed that line into dehydration. So never let yourself get there. Drink, chew gum, suck on hard candies, keep your saliva glands active in order to cool yourself. It's like a dog when they pant, the water that's on their tongue, it will evaporate and it will help to cool. The panting does the same thing as sweat, where the water evaporates. The nature of evaporation is that it causes cooling. That's why your body sweats, in order to cool itself. If you're not sweating, that's a very bad sign, or it's very unhealthy, one or the other. So you need all of that to work in tandem together. There are lots of other things that you can do. I carry one of those folding Chinese fans, the Asian fans, that I can keep in my pack close where I can grab it, because just waving that will cause motion of air across you, which will help. Find shade. Find means to work out of shade. If you can't avoid the shade, then find your way into shade as often as possible so that you can cool down before you get started again. Don't be in a rush. Because if you move too quickly and you fail to allow your body to recover, then you're going to have a problem. Another interesting thing is to carry some washcloths or some towels. I use hand towels. In fact, one of my favorite things are the microfiber towels that they sell in 20 packs for cleaning your car. They're really nice. They're pretty good size. They're like 20 by 20. They're good size. If you wet it with a little of your drinking water, you can put it underneath of your arms. You can put it on the sides of your neck and in your groin area and as a compress, and that will help cool your blood, which means cooling the blood going to your brain and to your major organs. This is a really big help. You would be shocked how much effect that will have when you're beginning to slip into overheating and into dehydration to help you to cool down. That's really important. So also think about purchasing some of the electrolyte mixes that are low in sodium or moderate in sodium that you can add into your water every so often in order to increase the levels of your electrolyte. There are so many things that you can do to help yourself maintain. They all, though, come back in one way or another to the idea that if you wait, if you ignore the symptoms, if you ignore your responsibility to take care of yourself, you will be in the hands of someone else who may not be as good as you, may not care as much as you about the outcome, and may not even be willing to help you. Don't leave yourself in that position. Always put yourself in a way that you are able to take care of yourself. You need that. Going back one last time to carrying water with you, this is once again why you need to consider other means. I've talked a lot in the classes that I've given on water purification and gathering of water about water catchment, about rainwater catchment and other things. There are lots of things that you can do to move large volumes of water. In Africa, they have a thing called a water hippo. It looks like a 55-gallon drum with an axle going through the center of it that allows them to use a handle and pull or push the water in that 55-gallon drum instead of trying to find a way to carry that much water. And there are lots of other methods that you can do. You can have 7-gallon bottles that you can fill with water and put 2 or 3 of them, or get some of those stackable ones that lay low and go wide and put them onto a cart and pull them on the cart. There are lots of ways you can do that, but none of them will work if you don't have them when the event happens that demands that you do it. Again, think about having a means to tote water, and tote water without high levels of energy expended, causing lack of caloric intake problems and dehydration problems to be enhanced. All these things come together. Again, I'm starting to sound redundant to even myself, which I apologize for, but these things are so important. You can overcome the threat of dehydration if you're in a situation where you don't have cooled area, if you don't have a cool place. You can find cool places. You can find ways to work around the hot sun and out of the direct sun. But you have to think about these things up front. And they all begin, all end, with you maintaining hydration from the start. If you fall behind, you are going to be in deficit, and it will be a speeding spiral to your end. Don't let yourself get there. Thanks for joining us. That'll be the end of this segment, and we'll see you next week.